702.
The Aubrey Masango Show.
Live, online.
Smartphones, DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Martin Myers is my guest. He joins me now on the line. Martin, thank you so much, my brother, for joining me. I really, really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Aubrey, and evening to 702. Let's just quickly go back. Something's happening here. That's Buffalo Springfield.
Exactly
here.
Right.
What is it? Ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Everything, look what's going down. So that's it's something's happening here, and it's by Buffalo Springfield. So that answers that. But you turn to the fantastic Mark Moreau. He is dear friends with Dr. Trevor Jones, who is the fifth biggest film composer in the world, and that's not a statement from Trevor. It's a statement from Time magazine. He's just been awarded an honorary doctorate from UCT. This is a man who has written the movie scores to some of the biggest movies on the planet. One thinks of Notting Hill in the Name of the Father with Bono. One thinks of Mississippi Burning. One thinks of Notting Hill, if you know Notting Hill with Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
He tells you a wonderful story. Well, I made Elvis Costello a lot of money. So let's leave that there. I worked for Sony for 17 years in Cape Town running the operation there.
Yeah.
And we had a conference, just to give you the genesis of Music Exchange. We had a conference, a worldwide conference, many, many years ago. And Stuart Rubin, the worldwide marketing director, was out, and we had it at the Cape Sun. And he said, the talent's unbelievable, but the business acumen is nil. Why don't you start a music conference? I'll help you. And to cut a long story short, we're 12 years in. Every single year, we've had a international global superstar. We've had Mos Def. We've had Brian Michael Cox, 9-time Grammy Award winner. We've had Charles Goldstuck, you know, his brother. Yeah, Arthur Goldstuck is a regular on 702. Now his brother founded J Records, home of Alicia Keys, etc. And I've had Trevor Jones before. And then Trevor said to me this year when he got his honorary doctorate, Martin, I need to do more. Education is so important for me. If people want to see a wonderful documentary, just type in on YouTube, Trevor Jones Carte Blanche, and watch that. It's a couple of years old, but it just shows you what the man has achieved. And he said to me, we need to bring Mark Moreau. And I tried this 8 years ago, and the timing wasn't right and everything else. And I was speaking to Mark in July, and he said, of course I'm coming. If Trevor's there, I'll be there. Now, this is a man who was the youngest managing director ever in the United Kingdom. He worked for Island Records. He was the managing director. Chris Blackwell, as we all know, that's the Bob Marley catalog, the U2 catalog, and he was responsible for U2, Achtung Baby. His first number one hit, and we all know that, was Pump Up the Volume by Mars. We all know that hit.
Sure.
Then he ran a publishing company with signing acts like Shakespeare's Sister.
Yeah.
He's worked with Pulp, Stereo MCs, have just been here to Johannesburg, PM Dawn, The Cranberries, Elbow, Shaka Demus and Pliers, NWA, you can say what the N means, straight out of Compton. You know, there was the old hate speech story in the UK, which they won, about the policeman.
Yeah.
He's worked with The Orb, Ice Cube, Talvin Singh, Tricky, Nine Inch Nails. This has shaped our cultural DNA as to who we are. I'm 58. Every single listener has heard those acts. And Mark is deeply involved in African music. He signed Angelique Kidjo. He signed Baba Mal. He signed from Zimbabwe, the Bunda Boys. He signed Dollar Brand, but said to me, no, that was a bit too much trouble in the end. So, well, Dollar left, you know, but this man has been responsible guiding U2's career from the 90s all the way through Achtung Baby to All That You Can't Leave Behind, you know, selling close to 60 million albums.
Yeah.
The gravitas is absolutely enormous.
No doubt.
It's a Q&A. Yeah. That's what they're looking for.
I want to talk a bit about you first. We'll go into Mark Merrow.
You want to know about me?
Yeah, I want to know a couple of things about you. We'll go into Mark Merrow in a few moments' time, but were you ever a musician?
I couldn't tell you where middle C is. My love affair for music started when I was studying at UCT. I ran UCT Radio, where the Demons of the World came out of, and Randall Abrams, in fact, came out of there, etc. In fact, your big CEO of the Prime Media Group, Jonathan Proctor, was my lecturer at Varsity. So we have a wonderful relationship on the phone. I tell it straight to him like it is.
Yeah.
And it's all about relationships in this business. And I was earmarked to work for a listed company on the JSE, but that was never me. My late mom and dad were both medical doctors, and I just had a love. I think using my industrial sociology degree and that side of things about music. I've DJed, I've done parties, I've run a production company in Cape Town called SMD Technical. We sold to Gear House. And then there was this gap in the market when I was working for BMG, and then it became Sony when they all morphed to do this conference. And I put my blood, sweat, and tears in it for 12 years, and we've had some wonderful outcomes. You'll bump into people and they'll say, oh, I turned into a lawyer because I attended the conference.
Yeah,
I did something for one of the major government departments the other day in Philippi about intellectual property and the wrongs and how young kids need to do things. And the DG looks at me and says, no, Martin, I know you. I was at Music Exchange when Mos Def was there. And I'm going, oh, my heavens. Oh, okay.
So,
you know, and I think that's what it's about. It's not about me. It's about Music Exchange.
Sure, sure.
And about educating and being very focused on outcomes.
Sure. So last night, Martin, my last caller was a young guy calling me from Soweto. We were talking about business and how to get the mind right beyond our talents. So, and that's really been your legacy, to find talent, to find the passion of artists, and then turn it into a commercially viable undertaking. And he was talking about this, and that's why this is so serendipitous for me, that we're having this kind of conversation that, as you said, somebody said to you once that there's just so much talent, but very little business acumen. Talk to me about what happened to you at a point where you began to say, but here is a commodity that we can turn, maybe not a commodity in the vulgar sense of the word, but here is something that we can turn into a livelihood for people that are doing it, perhaps in the first instance for entertainment. But here is something that we can change into a livelihood, because that has changed so many people's lives. Many families to this day owe their ability to eat something to that specific seed. Where did that come from?
I think it was my upbringing from my late parents and all of that, and then having met Hot Sticks Mabuse at a very early age of 1985. I brought him to UCT. I went and toured out the country in 1989, met the ANC in exile. We toured with Don Laka, Jimmy Mgwandi. It was a serious heavyweight band, and they're all heavyweight musicians now. And this duty of care, I think it's a duty of care that has been instilled in me in a very, very young age to give back. I speak openly when I'm doing gigs in places where they look and they see, hey, there's an Ngamla here. And then I can start speaking Kwanakalo and bits and pieces and everything else. And I explain to young learners that the color of your skin has nothing to do with it anymore. It's about getting out there, putting your best foot forward and asking for information, going and asking, seeking help. There is someone who is always prepared to help you. And we have that duty of care. As I spoke in Philippi today, I said, I cannot speak honestly about not having food in my stomach. I cannot speak honestly about living in a shack. I would be lying, and I would be lying to everybody else's face in the room. And young learners and young students can pick that up very quickly. And then you play them the songs that you're working with, and they might not know the names. And then all of a sudden, they sit up straight. When SIPO tours, I'm taking care of 8 or 9 people and families and everything else. It's a duty of care. There is always someone who is prepared to help. The internet is key. You know, at Music Exchange, we're not talking for you to how to register at SAMRO.
Yeah.
We're talking with concepts and ideas. How to register on SAMRO, you type that in on Google and it'll give you the answer. Let me give you a classic point that Trevor Jones always says. He says, prepare or prepare to fail.
Yeah.
If you're going for an interview at 11 o'clock in the morning and you arrive at 11, you're late. You need to be there at 10:30. He's never been late for anything. He said to me the other day, Mark, you keep on saying to me, prepare or prepare to fail. I'm going to give you another one. You need to look to your destination and see where you want to go. You can either be a fireman or you can be an arsonist. And he just stopped.
Yeah.
Now look at those contrasting positions. The one is complete destruction, and the other one is trying to put something out. But how do you use those things? How do you work? And it's the nuance of the word. You know, when luck walks into the room, you have to seize it, you have to grab it, and you have to understand it. There's certain film composers in Cape Town who I reached out and sent them, oh, Dr. Trevor Jones is here, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Nobody replied. They missed the opportunity.
Yeah. Many times, yeah, many times we find that we don't know what questions to ask. You know the saying, you don't know what you don't know, right? And
with these giants, yeah, there's no question that is infradig.
Yeah.
All you need to do is Trevor and Mark both said, you can Google our names. Mark Marot, MARC MAROT. Go and look on Instagram what he's doing. He's doing augmented reality. When I introduced him on Sunday, I said, I'm introducing you to talk about augmented reality now. I know nothing about it. Please educate us. And off he went. No question is infradig.
Yeah.
You can look at the biography and see and go, oh, my heavens, you managed Robin van Persie. He played for Arsenal. Tell me about that.
Do you think that the reason why some questions aren't asked, particularly by people who are gifted as far as the arts is concerned, is because they think that a question is stupid? Do you think that that's why certain questions aren't asked that don't give them the ability to be educated? Do you think it's because they think it's a bad or stupid question?
I'm going to be blunt and say it's ego gets in the way. We think we know in this country, yet we're all sitting in silos and not pulling together and not working together and seeking counsel from the best in the business. Trevor Jones lives in Cape Town. Do you think the city of Cape Town have used him to score anything for one of their commercials or got one of the top cinema photographers here to do something? You know, Mark Marot has come to this country. He was the CEO of Island Records. Do you think the CEO in Joburg, Sipho Dlamini, has reached out? He has reached out. I've reached out to him on certain things and say, hey, Martin, on Friday, I'd like to take him for a drink or come and show him the office, etc. These gentlemen have huge phone books of astronomic value, and we're not tapping into it.
That points to the question that I'm asking. Do you think that they understand the value of some of these names, Trevor Jones?
No, and
Mark Merritt.
National government hasn't a clue.
Yeah, so
ruling ANC has absolutely no clue what Trevor Jones
is. Here's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to how do we get to a place where people understand what is available to them? Because I think that the reason why we're not benefiting from these giants in any industry, whether it's Martin Myers, whether it's Trevor Jones, whether it is Mark Marot, is because we simply don't know what we've got. And that for me points to another deficit. And that is to be in positions that have no history of continuity, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Somebody gets a job in a particular position, but doesn't know how that industry developed to where it came from. So even if the resource that was to perhaps grow this business in leaps and bounds were to slap him in the face, they wouldn't even know it because they just don't have the repository of information that comes from continuity and history. Is that perhaps a factor?
Let me give you two examples. Marera Chongisa, who's just released a new album and is playing on Joy of Jazz, which your station is backing, is flying in from Mozambique on Sunday morning to have a face-to-face with Mark Marot. Robin Shivedze from Botswana is driving in to talk about the music matrix in Botswana, because once I sent in the press releases and story, they understood the gravitas that was in the room. And again, I go back and I harp on the silly point. When I was chatting to Mark Marot, he says, are we going to Joburg? I said, yes, we're doing stuff at Academy of Sound Engineering, which is in Auckland Park, and they're hosting us, Nick Matsoukas, who is the music lawyer in the country, along with Mark Rosen, who is now soon to be former SAMRO CEO. He spoke in Cape Town. He said, we're seeing Lance stir. I phoned Lance and he says, you do not understand the genius of what Mark Moreau has done. And then he starts rolling out stories and you're sitting and listening to the nuance because you want to pick that up to guide people to be better. They all want to see people succeed. And there's the, I know it's a cliche. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, the record companies in Joburg don't even get together. I've messaged, you know, CEPO's companies, Gallo. I sent them the press releases and everything else. Do you think they've put it out? Do you think they've gone and bought 10 tickets for their staff? Or Universal have bought 10 tickets for their staff? Or Warner Brothers have got involved, etc. Amapiano is busting out all over the world. Mark was talking to me about it. He says, I'm looking for an Amapiano artist, but I'm also looking for the African Bob Marley. So someone's put up their hands and said, oh, you mean a reggae artist? He said, no, listen to what I'm saying very carefully. The African Bob Marley. He said, what do you mean when this was in Cape Town? He said, look at the message. Look what he was putting through. Look what he stood for. And you look at all the stuff that Ireland signed, they were always different. They were changing the cultural narrative. And there's so much going on in the world at the moment. What artists are writing to that? And he was questioning that, and he was talking about that, making people think and to understand, to collaborate. He says, Amapiano is fantastic, but a lot of it all sounds the same. What's the differentiation? And then you go, oh, my heavens. Now, imagine being an artist and a creative and listening to this. And you have time to engage one-on-one. It's not like there's 500 people in a room where they come and talk and then they leave. And everybody is talking about the business. We're not talking about the middle C. Mark Moreau is busy working on a book. It's vaguely titled The Duty of Care. He's managed Becky Hill, Ella Henderson, these young female artists who've had stratospheric success, and the pressures of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of that, and how do you deal with that? How do you look after artists and all of that? And those are things that need to be talked about as well.
So I'm sensing a lot of frustration in your tone about the fact that we are not using some of the opportunities that are available to us, the repositories of knowledge that we've got, not only within the country, but elsewhere. Is there something to be said in your thinking, Martin, around whether people believe that they actually have access to some of that knowledge? Is it a matter of people not knowing that they have access? Is it a matter of people believing that they know when they don't know? What is the reason, given the availability of all of this knowledge, that would change the economical trajectory of South Africa, if I understand you correctly, if it was actually used? What is the reason for not engaging with some of this knowledge?
The pie is so small. The Instagram brigade and the 15-second TikTok video, and you think you're a star. But how are you building a career? I'm fortunate to manage a poet, Sipho Kazi Jonas, who 8 years ago attended Music Exchange. This weekend, she had Dr. Trevor Jones put music to her poetry. Her goal is a Grammy Award, till Mark Moreau heard it and said, F the Grammy Award, we're going for the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize for Literature. And we just sat there gobsmacked because she was in the room. He says, no, I'll show you how to do it. Do you know an audio book works like this? Do you know people are doing this way, the length it needs to be, how this needs to be? You're not going to read that in a book. It's by having the conversations with people and finding out how they are doing it and finding out best practice. And that's what it's about. It's best practice with outcomes on a continual basis. You know, Lance Sturr said to me, he's closing off Saturday the 12th. He says he's going to be talking about the South African reality. Berry, the current winner of Idols, who's based in Cape Town, she came to the launch night on Friday night and got to meet everybody who she'd never ever meet before. She's got a ghastly contract that Idols have had.
Yeah,
it's been checked by two of the top music attorneys in the country, and Mark Moreau had a look at it, and he said, my girl, will help you get out of this mess. And she's had no schooling and no help. And there was a talk entitled The Poison Chalice that she did about idols. And everything was filmed, so it's going to be cut up. It's going to be put onto YouTube so that people can sit and absorb. I've been running podcasts for over 52 weeks. I write for the platform Ayoba, which is a free application if you're with the yellow cell phone company, let's say, not the red cell phone company. Ayoba, and there's a channel on there called The Daily Plug, and you can read and listen to wonderful information. The information is all there, but people need to come forward. I went to particular schools like the ASE school in Cape Town and was lecturing to the students, and I said to them, are you coming to Music Exchange? And they said, what's that? I said, there's a poster, musicexchange.org.za. Everybody expects to be spoon-fed, and that doesn't work in the real world. Everybody wants a handout for free. That doesn't work. You've got to pay for studio time. You've got to pay for a producer. You've got to pay for an engineer. You've got to pay for a press release. You've got to pay for photographs. You've got to pay to upload it. You know, that is a huge, huge problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Easier and easier to make because you can make it in your bedroom. Look at Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
But then you need the machine to help you.
Yeah.
And then you need to learn how to monetize it.
Yeah. So what you're saying to me, if I understand you correctly, Martin, is that there's a science to being commercially successful in the arts, whether it's music, whatever the case may be, but there's a science to it. And that is something that needs to be learned. In other words, the discipline for understanding the nuts and bolts of it isn't going to come in the same way that the inspiration for the song comes. There's a discipline to be learned here.
Absolutely. And the two are run concurrently. There's the discipline with your songwriting, but you might not want to be a songwriter. You might want to be on the management, on the other side of the music business. And there's so much to learn. It's changing every day. The books are out there, but get in front of the people because you don't know what door that can open along the way. I mean, we're already planning Music Exchange 2023. I'm probably going to get the Music Manager of the Year, as voted by the music managers in the United Kingdom, to come out and talk because, oh, he happened to have been mentored for the last 2 years by Marc Moreau. Trevor Jones has mentored me for 8 years. And when I was chatting to Mark and I said to him, oh, I'm so thankful that you've come out here, et cetera, et cetera. He says, no, Martin, I've been watching you for 8 years.
Yeah.
Then I looked up there. Then he showed me his Instagram account and he pointed to one name. And it's not 10 million followers and all of that. It's a couple of thousand on his Instagram account. He says, oh, that's the head of Live Nation in Europe. He's my friend. He knows I'm here. Now, where does that lead to going forward?
What would be the low-hanging fruit, in your assessment, Martin, for our artists to try and grab that would exponentially grow the music industry, commercially speaking? What are the low-hanging fruits?
Come to conferences that have bona fide speakers who've done things on a worldwide scale. Look at who's talking, look at their pedigree, and then decide whether you want to walk in the room and come armed with a 30-second pitch, whether it's a stick that you want to leave behind, whether it's information that you've got, and say, I've got to this point, and be clear what you want to do. Your challenges, Aubrey, for next year are completely different to mine. Nobody's competing with one another. We're dealing with art. We're all completely different, but how do you want to achieve and you want to try and be the best at it? Trevor said to me when we were talking with Sipho Kazi and we were working through the 10,000 hours, which everybody talks about in the entertainment economy, he said, Mark, what's next? I said to him, clearly, this is what we want to do. Oh, we need to speak to Mark. We need to do this. We need to do that one. We need to do this and we need to do that. And I'm sitting, oh my heavens, let's have the conversation. But if you weren't clear and precisely what you wanted to do, you wouldn't know. I mean, Berry's got a record coming out now this weekend, the Idols winner.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there, and she played her one song, and Mark put up his hand, and he said, no, I believe you've got three songs. Play all three so I can listen to them. And then he went and pulled her aside and said, you need to look at this, you need to look at that, you need to do this, you need to do that. She phoned me afterwards. She said, I just got a masterclass in three songs. And she'd spoken for 40 minutes about her trials and tribulations and everything else.
Martin.
There are people here consistently who want to help you.
I want to take, I want to, and I need to take a quick break. I suppose you can see why Martin has been such an impactful presence in the South African music industry. We continue our conversation. He's the founder of the Music Exchange, and they are hosting one of the world's foremost managers and promoters of music in the person of Mark Maro. I've been saying Mark Merritt. This week here in Johannesburg at the Academy of Sound Engineering here in Johannesburg on the 12th, Saturday the 12th and 13th, Sunday the 13th. They are going to be giving knowledge as to how you can commercialize the business of music. I'm hoping that after the break, I'll get some calls from those of you who are perhaps artists, but perhaps haven't really thought about how you can stimulate your art, your craft for the business space. Yeah, because that for me is where perhaps our saving grace is going to be. There is no shortage of talent in this country. We saw what happened with Jerusalem when many of us had not even given it the time of day. And with effective marketing, we saw it blow up. We had the conversation yesterday about Amapiano and how it's blowing up globally. How come we're not seeing more millionaires being created by this great musical innovation? And that's what I want to talk to Martin Myers about in a few moments' time. But please give us a call. 011-883-0702 is the number to dial straight after this.
702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Martin Myers is my guest. He is the founder of the Music Exchange. And as I said, that they'll be hosting one of the world's greatest managers as far as music is concerned. One of the greatest managers as far as creating strategies and visions for business in music. And I'm hoping that you can give me a call if you are in the business of music. I'd love to hear from you. But if you're just an artist and you haven't really thought about the business side of your craft, please, this is the time for you to call. And great frustration from Martin in that he is worried that the knowledge, the great repository of knowledge that exists that could exponentially grow the business of music in this country is not being utilized. And I can just sense his frustration because he feels that we could do and we could be doing much more. But my question is, how do we get to know that we don't know when we don't know what we don't know? Yeah. And I'm interested to hear particularly from those people who dabble in the genre of Mampiano. And I can see it's huge. It's huge. Yeah? But how come we're not seeing more millionaires? It's no longer a situation where South Africa is the only market that you operate in. You operate in a global market. How do we take advantage of the technological advancements that have broken down the borders in order to make music more commercial for South Africa and South Africans? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Martin, what do you think of Amapiano?
You know, I think it's so important. Mark Moreau is working on augmented reality and art and everything else. You need to have the story. Once you have the backstory and the story, where you come from, what you've done, what's the DNA of the song, why you've done it, then people buy into what you are doing and what you are creating. I think the big problem is we're not selling ourselves well enough. We're not finding the channels where we can get out and express ourselves, how we can sample radio in the UK, how do we do shows, how do we do shows collectively, how do artists collaborate collectively, what is special about going to a festival? You know, yes, Black Coffee headlines, comes at a small place after this, Mapolisa, this one, that one, but what's that moment? What's that wow moment at a show that you go, oh my heavens, I was there and I saw this?
And a guy like Mark Merrill,
the UK, how well they are created and what they do and how they put different acts together,
yeah,
so that your ears widen. We're all, okay, it's jazz.
Yeah.
Well, the New Orleans Heritage Jazz Festival had the Rolling Stones on it with a band called Arcade Fire, because there's a genesis in that, and you're opening minds and you're listening to different things.
Yeah.
We are so narrow in some of our thinking sometimes.
So Mark Merrill was one of the guys that seemed to have succeeded in connecting the arts, the business of music, to social issues, big social issues. The issue of third world debt, where U2 and Bono were involved. Is that what you're talking about? The leveraging of social issues together with the music to provide meaning beyond just the experience of the musicality. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Artists have a unique voice. They can communicate in a unique way, whether it's via paint, whether it's spoken word, or whether it is in song. You know, you look at all the artists that Island Records signed and he signed, they were all different and hugely different, you know, putting out different messages, but then they also stick with the artist. And sometimes you'll find it's the second or the third album that all of a sudden breaks. So the Stereo MCs who were here recently and everybody was jumping up and around to connect it, that's the third album that they did. So where is that longevity that you're sort of sitting and planning in your career?
Yeah.
You're not here today and you're gone tomorrow. What are you building as a career? Do you want a gig economy or do you want to build a sustainable career?
Martin, I've got some callers who'd like to engage with you. Spiwe is from Orange Farm. Hi, Spiwe.
Hi, how's the ops? How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Spiwe. Go ahead. What is your question for Martin?
Yeah, I heard Martin saying he's looking for somebody that can write the kind of music that Bob Marley wrote. I just wrote my latest track. I'm featuring Gangali on that track. It's called Aluta Continua. The kind of message that you get there is a kind of message, is a kind of music that has been written by the late legend Bob Marley. I've been in the industry for quite some time, but no growth or whatsoever. There's no growth. I mean, interviewed by a couple of radio stations in the country, but no growth. I tried to claim my royalties, and there was no track of my music. So, I mean, people like him can put me, can you please be my manager? I can write, I can compose. I write the most amazing music.
Yeah. Well, before you go, Zimpiwe, what are you doing on Saturday, the 12th? Would it be a good thing for you perhaps to go and check out the conference happening on Saturday or Sunday weekend?
I can definitely come on Sunday. I'm a hustler, so I'll be at the stadium making some money.
Yep.
Because I'm unemployed, and so you know I hustle. I do some things at the stadium when there's a derby and so on.
All right.
But on Sunday I can definitely.
Please do.
Let's speak offline and let's see how excited you are to get into the room and we'll sort something out. You need to bring your song, what it's about, and your 30-second sales pitch, and I'll put you in front of people who can do things.
Yeah.
But you've got to want it. Saying that I haven't got radio play and that, have you spoken to Jared Aston, who's based in Cape Town, runs an application called Radio Monitor? You might have spent a couple of R1,000 recording your album, but you need to log it and see whether it's being played on Highveld or KFM or some of the other stations as well. so you can then go and look and say to Samro, look, I've registered this and here's all my airplay. It suddenly played on Highfield score 100,000 times and you've never picked it up, etc., for an example. That's what you have to do when I mean by empowering yourself to present yourself correctly to business people who are going to help push you forward.
Sorry, go ahead, Martin.
We don't take anything out of it. You come to the conference, you sit and you learn, you go back and maybe you write us a thank you letter and you say, wow, I learned something, et cetera, et cetera. So we can continue sitting and pushing and applying for funding to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know,
here's the guts
to step in the door.
Here's a quick question about the era in which we saw Island Records just grow so huge. Some may argue that the global political context of the time was such that you could raise issues of the nature that Mark Moreau raised with the guys from NWA, Niggas With An Attitude, right? Guys like U2 and PM Dawn. That these were social issues that were happening in a particular political context that some may argue no longer exists with the advent of, I don't know, social media, globalization, the making of the world smaller. That at that time people were heady enough to be. Concerned about some of those issues. What would you say to that?
I would absolutely disagree. For every year and every era, there is something that is wrong with the world. And I think musicians sometimes are idealists in that. And I think we all are idealists. We want a better planet. Let's look at South Africa. You don't even need to begin it with the C word. So there's something to look at. There's climate change to look at. There's the whole Middle East crisis to look at. And the Amazon rainforest and deforestation, what went on in the U.S. with the ghastly Donald Trump, etc. There are positions to take. There is lyrics to write. There are songs to do. You know, the protest movement all through the 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, where did punk come from? Was a reaction to Thatcherism and what was going on in the UK.
Yeah.
What is going on in Ukraine and Russia and that whole area there? Where's the songs? Where's the protest movement? Where's the speaking out against what the South African government are doing in terms of their position? Where are artists rallying about that? Where are artists rallying about the real situations on the ground now that they see on a daily basis?
Do you feel as though artists have become bankrupt as far as social consciousness is concerned?
I think there's a fear. I think there's a fear from the massive corporations, from the Spotify's, from the iTunes and things like that, that, oh, if I keep on speaking out on this and this basis on a regular basis, I'm going to be vilified by society and my friends and that. That's just something that I look at. People say to me, oh, I'm just blunt. Well, you know, I don't know any other way to say it because you want to see things change, you know.
Do you think that's what's happened to Kanye West?
That's a strange fellow. You know, there is so much money there that I think you sometimes go a bit loopy. But none of us have had the opportunity to sit down face to face and have a discussion with him to find out what he's really ticking. And that's where we talk about the care, the duty of care. You know, is this a cry for help that he's doing? What is he doing? Because you must remember that money is absolutely extraordinary that he has got in terms of his bank balance. And sometimes, and I use it very much in inverted commas, you can do stupid things.
Listen, I want to take one last call, Martin. Just one last call from Abby in Alex. Hi, Abby.
Aubrey.
Yep.
Please, man, we need that man to talk more. When can you get him back again? Because it's very important. From Alex, we've got so much musicians there. When are you going to get him back? We want 2 hours, not 1 hour.
I'm happy that you feel that way. But are you going to go to the to the exchange, the MEX-22 yes, on the 12th.
I'd love to go there, but I've got an engagement, man. I had to go home and somebody's getting married in the family. Aubrey, we need that man because I hear you talking about he's going to Academy Sound of Music. That's a big thing, but we need to speak to that man. He had to bring him back again.
Listen, we'll definitely bring him back again, and I'm glad that you enjoyed this conversation. But as you know, Abby, if you can make it to the Academy of Sound Engineering this Saturday and Sunday, if it's not Saturday, try and make it on Sunday, because I think many of the questions that you have will be answered at that.
Where was he hiding all this decade with suffering in this country?
Abby in Alex, thank you very much. Martin, you definitely have to come back again,
I can't promise you. We're coming to studio tomorrow, and I'm not going to say a word. I'm bringing Mark Moreau for an in-person interview with you. We'll be there at like 8:45, just for after 9, and then people can really let fly. About NWA and ask about things. And I think it'll be very revealing and very rewarding for people to hear from an absolutely mega scale of what can happen when luck walks in the room and how you need to do things.
Martin Myers.
Correctly. And that's all we want to do.
It's been great talking to you, and thank you very much for your passion, for your candor. Really, really thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. Martin Myers, manager extraordinaire. Let's